Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show!
Beautiful that when people say that's not you, it's the biggest compliment in the world.
Yeah. So I really did. I was so blown away that I had to have you play it for me to prove to me that you it was you playing.
Yeah.
The song. It was
the guy I play with, his name is Mark Woodyatt, and he's amazing. And like this guy just he makes me want to play guitar.
Yeah, you guys seem to have a really good chemistry. It's pretty crazy.
Nice, man. Dude, what did you do today?
Talk about the songs I listened to?
Sure.
All right. So the first one was This Precious Life. It was really cool. The guitar was holding down a lot, down the hook, it seemed like, in this one, really. And the song itself, it felt like mourning, like the morning, the beginning of a day or something, and like being seated at a wedding. It was like melancholy. So the guitar held down the hook with the violin kind of coming in and out. The melancholy had a really cool bridge, and then it's like the violin takes a lead on this. The violin almost sings. It's almost like a voice over the whole thing, but you're definitely holding it down.
Dude.
And then that was the cool twist at the ending where it almost got fun. It's so serious for the whole song, and not a heavy feeling. You got the mourning feeling, then a little darker in the bridge, but then at the end it almost felt like, I don't want to say silly, but just not silly music, but just lighthearted. I would say it gets lighthearted at the end.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I got to tell you, like, I had, when I wrote that song, I found out my boss's wife was sick. I was just playing, strumming around. It just turned into something. When she passed away, it was the toughest day, but I see her and feel her through this song. This song is completely created on emotion, and that's it. You know what I mean? So if you ask me what chords they are, I couldn't even tell you, because I'm a music dummy like that. But just whatever sounds right, whatever feels right. So
yeah, you could almost feel. I had a little bit. You can almost feel where it almost feels like a lifetime. Even in a movie, a lot of the songs are cinematic. It feels like at the end, you go through those phases. It's almost like life, ups and downs, and then the end. Hey, what's up? It felt a lot like that almost in the song. I could see where that relates to a life.
Thank you.
Britt. How cool is it that I got Britt from Blackboard Jungle interviewing me about music? It's pretty amazing, dude.
Yeah. Britt from MK4, Britt from Britt and Paul. Lots of things.
Yes. Where are we at now? El Granada? What are we at?
El Granada. Hey, it's Britt and Paul. Right now we're going to go Britt and Paul. Britt and Paul. You know, I mean, we're actually going to, as our music shapes up, as the music. Anyway, that's about me. So the next one, I listened to Angel of Love. It was like the guitar kept the chords rolling. Okay, it was really a waking up feeling with a violin really sings the melody. Once again, it almost like it's wild how he almost plays so lyrically. You can almost hear a voice in where he sings. It's cool, but the guitar.
He's amazing, dude. I got to tell you, that song came to be is we have a guy out here that lives by me. He writes music, but he doesn't know how to play it. So he wrote lyrics down. I went over his house with the guitar, and we brought that song to life. We wind up actually Mark Woodyette came in and did violin on that song too. That's another track, but you know, of course, it was my music. And me and Mark basically, you know, we did it as a favor. And yeah, it's for him and his Christian music. But I'm like, I'm taking that piece of music. Absolutely.
Who did you do it as a favor to?
That one, I mean, to me, it's a lot to do with like my Aunt Angela. Just people that have passed on, Lori. It's just people that are close to me that I loved that are here no more that just give me that emotion.
It's not really a favor. It's more of a tribute than a favor, you would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love it, man.
Thank you.
other one, I listened to Rain Keeps Falling, and it was raining when I was listening to it up in here in the Bay Area. And what was interesting in that one is you didn't play any chords. You just went to Joe Howard picking, which I really feel like you have your own percussive style, which years ago would almost be too, you didn't have it, the finesse yet in it where it was almost so percussive, but it was still cool. But now you found your finesse and you're picking through the whole thing while the violin did a melody to repeat it. So it almost formed a musical hook. And then halfway through it lifted up with these spasms, like bop, 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 bop. And then, you know, you guys have this thing where you do cool pauses before next another part. It's cool because it's not like a run-on sentence.
I love it. He's like, when you come up with a song, Britt, you know, you love the song. You really don't want to make any changes. But sometimes when he's playing, I see where I need to make some changes just to kind of get in the cut a little bit. You know what I mean? To fit in that song.
Once again, that's where songs are like. I love making changes to my songs. I love when people get them in other hands and you start to learn that you can't do everything in it. And it's cool when people that you trust can color them and, you know, that they become this other thing that these people add their lives into and their emotions. And that's almost where the song, you're trying to relate to I think you're trying to relate to people's emotions that aren't going through the exact same thing, but a similar thing. And it's all about tying everything and everybody's common emotions.
Absolutely, dude. I couldn't have said it any better. This is why you're the perfect person for this, man. You got the words, kid.
Thank you. Thank you. Put a lot of time into this. I just got my writing better lyrics today book, and we're still trying.
All right, dude. It's amazing. I mean, it's being one of the greatest ever, and it's still trying. That's amazing.
Like anything in life, we don't want our fires to go out, right?
That's right, dude.
Yeah. Right there, Greg. Greg's still practicing those drums. He ain't letting go. He's got the fire, right, Greg?
So, hey, ask him how – he probably walked away. Ask him how your song that you're working on with him is doing.
We're going to do something. We're going to work on your – actually one of your songs I decided with him because I think it'll tie in a little bit more. He'll like it.
Oh, man, that would be so great if I can have players like you guys on my stuff. Which is bringing it to life.
And then maybe we'll get Paul to sing on it so it has that nice little Paul melody. Or you could sing on it. You sing good.
No, dude, Paul's good, man. Hey,
like,
so
once again, guys, put it through hands, yes.
No, I want to collaborate like that and hear what you guys think would be amazing. I mean, it's funny. I got 100 songs. And if I know I got a great 10 songs that people would love.
I heard the guy, I listened to a podcast, this soda jerker on songwriting, it's called, and this guy, Billy Steinberg, that wrote like A Virgin, True Colors, Eternal Flame, Drive All Night, tons of songs. And he said, you know, I've probably written over 1,500 songs, but except for if there's 15 songs that are my greatest ones, and if I didn't write those 15, I'd be just another songwriter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, I hear
you. So you do write a lot to get those. If you think of any band you love, he was saying, like, really the great songs that, you know, I just saw Prince the other night. I mean, you really think of the songs that keep you on the map and around, Purple Rain. You know, there's other ones, Paisley Park, ones you like, but the ones that really keep someone on the map and on our own miniature maps, we do our things to keep us on the map.
Yeah, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, I've played your stuff for people, and they just lose their minds. I mean,
well, we're going to do another one about me. We're talking about you now. Let's go back to you.
Thank you.
'Cause Your Friend was really cool. That definitely was lyrical. I felt like it had a pop melody singing what a voice would do on the violin.
Yes.
And the boom, pause with the guitar was just cool. It just, it had a cool rhythm, and it felt like Friendship.
Dude, I got to tell you, man. You've heard the other version of that probably years ago. That's the music from it. And when me and Laurel were at our worst,
Laurel's your ex-wife.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, everybody knows pretty much. But anyway, she, it's to me, like, she crushed me, man. And everybody, it was like everybody was running away from the fire. And we were having hour-long conversations, dude. And like, you're
hour-long.
I wrote that song.
Thank God. I think that was the time where phone bills went down in price. Thank God.
No, dude. I got to tell you that, I meant every word of that, because, I mean, you were there when, like, people were running from me.
And we're still here.
That's right, man.
And then, so what? How did you come together with the violin play? I mean, it's just a Joe Howard and a. I mean, who would have thought?
All right, well,
I would think now after listening to it, but who would have thought? And what happened?
Well, I was doing a song with me and my brother, written about his ex-wife. We're in a studio, and I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing. Well, while I was there, his friend Mark came, and you know, he was just like tuning his shit up. I'm like, oh my God. And then I just started strumming, and he started playing, and we were just looking at each other like, all right, let's just keep going. And we did like this Christian rock project for a friend, and that's when I really got to see him play. And
I remember that guy with the video.
Anyway, check it out. That's the funny part is, man, I got to tell you, man, Mark, the whole time, we liked it, dude, it's good music. But, you know, we were putting in a lot of hours and putting in a lot of time. And it was like, you know, it was like the big promise at the end. I didn't care about getting paid or doing anything stupid like that. It's like I was just happy to be there and play music. But this dude, he's like top five in the country, dude. I mean, seriously, he really is. Look him up, Mark Woodyatt. I mean, the guy's an insane player. He just makes me better. He pushes me, man.
So what did so once again, like, we can even say you the extraordinary, spontaneous, crazy life with Joe Howard, you just end up in studios in the woods. You find these studios somehow, then you find the player that's playing. It's just, and then you, the spontaneous combustion, which is these songs, occurs. Just once again, the extraordinary life of Joe Howard.
It's been crazy. I mean, when, like I said, moving up here, you don't tell stories about what we did because everybody looks at you like you got three heads.
Yeah.
I just keep
that. When I say extraordinary, there's bad times in it, but it's definitely not a straight line. Good times, bad times, but not a straight line.
That's definitely.
Right. So, no, that's cool. And then, so do you guys practice? What do you do? I mean, I know you're not a big fan of practice.
The thing is, we have never practiced. That's the thing. Like, he'll listen to the song, he'll write down notes, and he comes and just rips it apart.
That's crazy, because I know what me and you, that's what's driven us crazy. I mean, and it's not, you know, Kim Fowley, I remember the producer that I work with, the name Joan Jett, wrote Cherry Bombs. I used to ask him to go over songs, and he'd say, I write them, I don't remember them. So that's sometimes why I can have patience with you. But, yeah, you're not a big fan of the practice and remembering.
Yeah, I mean,
You love to play. It doesn't mean you don't love to play. You play for hours, but practice and repeat, you're not a big fan.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten better with that, but I definitely...
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I need to work on and just keep in my mind and go, you know, I have to pay attention to doing that and make it happen like that. It's funny that you say that, because I laugh because I do it my own way, and people just go, why? But that's my music exploration. I do it my way.
That we can definitely connect your life to your music, because people say the same thing about your life, for better or for worse. So if we just establish one thing, you're honest with your music. Those are your emotions. And you can feel it off these things, because it's your emotions, because that's how your life runs.
Pretty much, man. That's nice to say.
Yeah, and you just said it right there, subconscious. That's what's cool about the not practicing, is you're into the subconscious of what you're doing. And I've always felt like there is a connection between your heart and your music. When you pick, like, sometimes you would pick so aggressive, it felt like your moods that would drive me crazy. Sometimes, you've had the pretty side of Joe Howard now. And this is from the guy that wrote Two Shovels in the Bag of Lime. That's the other, which was your metal rap song with your brother. It was amazing, but just a totally different world. So these are just Well, bipolar music by bipolar people, right?
I guess, man. It's perfect. No, you're right. I mean, dude, seriously, you pick up the I can tell when you're in your happy song mode.
No. It's true. And that's why some of the guys that I like, they're almost like you can hear them being hypocritical in their music, but at least they're admitting and being hypocritical inside their music. Not that you are, but just you know, you're allowed to get it all out. You can say stuff in music you can't say in real life.
Well, I got to tell you, man, like I've always been
thrown in jail or a restraining order.
Exactly. ROs. Since the beginning of time, since I've known you guys, I've always been like the helper, the roadie, the guy doing this, you know, make sure the sound's cool, do whatever I got to do to sure you guys go off and just know, just the show is amazing. And I always had a love for music. I go to see bands by myself. I used to do that in Hollywood all the time. Just get up and go see a couple bands.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Noel Gallagher, my favorite, one of my top five songwriters of Oasis, was a roadie for, I hate the term roadie, but, you know, was the roadie for, I think Stone Roses someone else. But he was. Lemmy was a roadie for Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just Lemmy Kilmister, whoever you say his name. So you just took a long way to segue, and you've got to make people take you seriously. And if they don't, you just believe in it. You know what I mean?
Well, the funny thing is, like, you know, people don't realize I do it, and then I go, oh, check out the song. And they look at me like, dude, it's not you playing. Like, you don't have a song. And I'm like, dude, yeah, I do this. And they're like, I just don't talk about it or make it a part of my life. Or, you know what I mean? I just don't. It's my private thing that I only bring out to people that are close to me usually. And now I like this, to bring this out, because it is. It's really, when I listen to it sometimes, it's very emotional. And it brings,
yeah, well, I think it's why, you know, a lot of your friends keep you around. Though you're driving crazy at times. You could be up and down, definitely all over the map. You've been way less all over the map, but it's because this is probably the side of your personality, even the sounds that we love. The guy that would pick you up at the airport at 4 a.m, the guy that would bring the, take someone to the hospital that needed a ride to the hospital. You know, this isn't the side of the guy that's going to, you know, I don't know, just, you know, maybe use insensitive words to say the least on a woman.
Yeah. No, man, I've got, you know what I mean? Hey,
this is the side of a man, of you, that's calling someone's life precious and looking at like a woman being beautiful in her life, as opposed to, you know, I mean, her faults and cracks, as would be another side. Well, hey, which I love exposing through songs too.
Yeah, dude. I just, I don't know. I was listening to an old demo today, because you forget songs. I have to relearn a lot of the ones I want to do. And just hearing all the stuff I was doing, I'm like, wow, I can tell you exactly what part of my life it was when I wrote that one, because of whatever, a fight, an argument, just something that was going on down the road. When we moved out to PA, I went through some of my worst depression the first year or two, and it just strained us big time. So definitely
How does music in your definitely, a lot of people claim depression. I'm definitely going to say you. Can we say you suffer from it?
Dude, I'm bipolar, and I have...
Like, I mean, everybody says they got ADD. Everybody says, well, you're the real deal. I'm going to say this. We got anybody. So how does your music help you with that, or how does it tie into your life? Because you play a crazy amount of time, dude. I call you and hours at night on a weekend sometimes. And then sometimes you run from it and you hate it and you won't play, but you definitely have a love for music that you have to do this. So I don't think people realize that it's not just a hobby. It is a hobby, but you put a lot in, and you do use this as a release. And how does it tie in and work with your depression and your mood swings?
Oh man, I mean, you know, when I'm down, I don't want to pick up the guitar. I look at it, I move it off my bed, I put it away. And when I'm feeling good, I want it out facing me at all times. If I have it out, let's just like in the old apartment, you look around, there's a guitar, is open guitar leaning against the wall. So it's like, you know, when it's out, I feel happy. I want to grab it again when I know I have time for it. But yeah, every time we talk, I'm doing something. Because, you know, my hands, it's like therapy too. Going up and down the neck, it's therapy. So I'm doing that. I'm enjoying that. And I don't know, dude. I get inspired too. My roommate does beats, and he just did an amazing beat before he left. So good, I recorded it on my Tascam. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. How long did it take you to do it? He goes, 10 minutes. Dude, I'm not going to blow it up too much. It's as good as a Dre beat. I'm going to be honest with you. It's got these hooks coming in.
And I'm sure now this is a prime example. 2 weeks ago, you weren't very happy with said roommate. I mean, to say the least. I mean, ready to go to jail over.
No, it's not that way. My thing is like this.
Well, no, but that's what was said, and now you guys are making beats, and that's
definitely a swing. It's just whatever. I got to get over. I get a little. I get crazy sometimes, and I got to just reel it in, man. But lately, I haven't been having those emotions, and it's winter, which is unbelievable. And the sun is not hitting my face, man. It's bad. But I'm enjoying like what I'm doing up here. I'm really trying to, it just makes me feel more normal, dude. I mean, I don't have my kids with me. It's a comforting thing. It's something I used to do around them. It's something we used to do together, kidding around. And now it's just me and the guitar, and they're where they are. So it's like I feel like it's a connection between me and them. It's almost, dude, I don't want to be corny, but it's like when I'm holding my guitar, I'm holding one of them. You know what I mean?
You're holding your what?
I'm holding one of them, like either one of my kids, or giving them a hug. You know what I mean? Just that's the comforted feeling I have when I have a guitar sitting on my leg, you know?
Right. That's cool. Yeah. I can see that with you. So that's good. And all right. You know, it's fun. And you grew up on rock, like Bon Jovi and all that stuff, right? You like me. You grew up on, like...
I mean, it was like, my neighbors, the Oldenburgs, I was listening to Queen, Styx. We were coming up like that. And then they always had import albums. I'm so glad I had them as neighbors. They really opened up my eyes to a lot of different music. And then by the time, 80s rolled around, it was Bon Jovi. We got the Priest, we got the Maiden. We just kept going. But I always liked the musical side of music, not just the aggression, even though I loved, heavy metal, whatever. I loved all that stuff. But just sometimes when you hear that one song and you could tell that somebody is playing from their heart, it just means a little bit more. That's why I'm doing this now, because, I don't know, it's peaceful to me. It really does calm me down. Even when I listen to it over and over, sometimes, Britt, I go a couple of days without listening to it, and I'm hearing the parts all new again. So I love that shit.
Okay, yeah. No. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, because I hear that rock influence at times when you're playing. I think it's cool against the violent. And then one time I heard the, I think it was in the, what is the one?
The sun goes down on me.
Sun goes down. It almost felt Western with this gallop, like while you were playing, and it kind of speeds up, and the guitar had an Yngwie Malmsteen moment when it built, and I felt like I heard AM Light Gold violin melodies during the song. It was cool.
Oh, man. Actually, it's so funny. I've been playing that one forever, and I just never knew what I was going to do with it. And one day, when I was driving across the country, I stopped at Dave Zink's house, your ex-guitar player.
Once a year,
it's the reunion time. But I'm saying,
another well-adjusted fellow.
Well, listen, I started playing that song, and Dave was seriously making bullets for like a tournament his daughter was going to be in the next day, and he plugged his electric guitar in, and we just sat down and he just ripped it apart. So I always knew something crazy can go over that. So I had asked Mark, just go off, man. And Dave made me realize where I could take that song because of the way he was playing. And when I showed Mark, he goes, oh, okay, all right. And he, like, of course, was like, that guy's insane. But dude, it's
did
just
you
weird.
Show him? Did you play him Dave's parts?
I played. I showed him doing Dave's Inc. doing Eruption on my.
Isn't that amazing? That I not amazing, but that I heard the Yngwie Mount. It's a very electric guitar violin. That'd be an interesting one for people listening. What is it? The sun. I just had the sun.
The sun went down.
The sun went down. So you're almost hearing a Dave's Inc. influence on the violin. I think our friends that are listening to this or people that know of Dave Zink and his playing would be interested, because I know this is where I'm going to tell myself, and I bring a little folk song in, and Dave Zink just puts a guitar over it. It's just, you can't believe what planet this guy is on and what he can apply. And there's repetition in his hooks. It's not just bombastic leading. That's what's cool about Dave. He makes melodic riffs yet hooky parts, and I've learned so much from the guy, and obviously you have. I put him in the genius category.
Dude, he's the greatest guitar player I've ever fucking been around. I always say
about Zink what he lacks in the day-to-day skills, he makes up for in guitar playing.
I don't know. No, Dave is a fucking, I think he's one of those guys who puts his hands on something and it automatically just becomes magic.
He's an alien. He once told me, I was telling somebody this, I said, because it's amazing that he shoots guns so well and he plays guitar so well. And I asked, one of the secrets I got out of him is he perceives time literally differently than you and I. He sees when the skeet is up in the sky like it's up there forever. And when he's going for a lead, like I might feel rushed if I had a big run. He just sees time as like going on forever. So I think he literally has a different perception of time and space around him than other people.
No, dude, I'm telling you, the way he plays, I believe that. And, dude, you only get like this guy, Mark, that I go in the studio with, you only get to play with one of those guys in your life, dude. And you've played with him forever, and just to sit down and just jam with Dave Zink, I always got to hold back like what an honor it is, dude. Because he really is. He's amazing. He's amazed us, and he's great. I miss that kid, man. I miss him.
He's good.
mic drop on that one.
Done. Well, let's wrap it up now. So where are you going from here with this? You guys going to do more songs? What are you going to do with this? Well, I mean, you could do videos for these. Well, there's a lot of ways. Just enjoy doing it.
Well, that's first. And but you know what? Somebody had asked me like, I played one song that I brought to LA with me. And they're like, oh my God, that's really good. And you know what? People, it's an industry friend. And she's like, I should show people maybe if somebody doesn't have like a huge music budget, you guys could do some things. And that's what made me start compiling songs. I'm not going to lie. She wanted five songs. I had three three. And then we went right in and we did five more. I was crazy. Like I got eight songs now. But they're all different looks, and I think you can see like they're versatile enough where you could tell we could go, we could do anything pretty much.
And where can people find the songs if they want to hear them?
Right now, Britt, I got them just only on the iPod. On the pod show, people will hit me up and because I talk about it sometimes.
But where can people find it? Yeah, probably do a SoundCloud page eventually.
I would love to do it. Dude. Reverb Nation, just something. I have to do something.
Yeah. Do SoundCloud. That's the easiest one. That's the easiest one.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll talk about that offline because I'm like really, I'm starting to get my equipment so it's easier to work with just so I could do it. You know the deal.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I'm
balance between creativity and technology, and
I swear to God, like having somebody produce and you being able to do whatever you want to do is there must be a magic show because being able to try to do this, like I know I used to be good with computers, man. Greg looks at me like, dude, what's up with you, man? But anyway,
no, it's fresh. I was working with some today that this thing to get into my iPad and I was ready to bring the thing back, then I realized I just run my batteries down, and that was why I was done. So it's usually you 90% of the time. All right, man. Well, I look forward to hearing more music from you, and we're going to do this next time. You're going to interview me about some of my music.
Yeah, dude. And I'll be like a fanboy on that one because I have questions. So
Greg, I guess, just disappeared on us, right?
Yeah, he's probably just gonna go through this when we're done.
It's Sunday night, big TV night, tonight, for real.
It is. No shit. What are you watching?
All right, man. Well, I love you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Britt. Thank you.
Bye.